Hello, everyone. Welcome in once again to another edition of the Talking Puck Podcast. I'm Tom Callahan. I'll be joined shortly by Mike Haynes. This one we actually cut not this past week, but the week before. And I, for whatever reason, misplaced it, forgot about it. I don't know. I just didn't get it out on time. But the point is, I'm putting it out now. It is still relevant. And in fact, might be a little controversial. I'm going to stir the pot a little bit here today by making a grand sweeping declaration about Austin Matthews. So you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that. You're probably going to have an opinion about it one way or the other. The reason I wanted to prepare you, though, is you're going to hear a couple of things in the podcast that are a little dated, such as standings, positions, and what have you. Playoff teams really have not changed much, but we do a little discussion of the playoffs, and the information is last week. So just a heads up for you. But the gist of this podcast, interesting, very interesting. But I have something to say about it. Mike has something to say about it. And hopefully you do, too. Catch us over on Twitter if you do. And if you like what you hear, please follow and subscribe to the podcast. All right, here we go. Time for another Talking Puck Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome into the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you. I'm at Callahan on air on Twitter, and in my Twitter bio is the link to our Talking Puck Discord. Jump on. Be a part of things. We love talking hockey there. Mike is at BusterTheDog33, and we're getting into it today. Mike, we've been talking a lot of playoffs and a lot of what's going on. We haven't focused too much on individual teams, but I think down the stretch we will. Some teams kind of climb in, fall out, we wonder, especially in the West, what we've got. But in the East, we really haven't talked much about Toronto this year. It's interesting to me. I try to read everybody's media takes, and of course, and this is weird to me, but they're kind of pushing the panic button in Toronto. Toronto is 7-2-1 in their last 10 games, but they're pushing them. They're like, oh, is Toronto a problem? Do they have a problem? Is there going to be goaltending? I mean, they're just inventing reasons.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have to
blow things up. But a great story this week, because Austin Matthews has now become the all-time single season goal scoring record holder for the Toronto Maple Leafs, 56 goals. Two things about this. Number one, it blows my mind the Leafs have never had a 60 goal scorer in a 100-year history. They've and now look, all right, back in the day, I realized there was no chance for 100 goal or 60 goals, but even in the somewhat modern era, no one has scored 60 for the Leafs, and that's mind blowing with all the talent they've had and the great players they've had. And number two, I'm going to say this. Austin Matthews now has to be acknowledged as the greatest living Toronto Maple Leaf player.
Wow. That's quite a statement. That's quite a statement. And, I don't know if we want to get into this or not, but you sent me an article last week. Is he the best player in the National Hockey League right now? If you do the analytics, he is. Right. If you're all about numbers, he may be the best player in the NHL. Do you think the fact that he is an American bugs people up there?
Oh, I'm sure it does. Especially because he's not even from Boston or Minnesota or something like that.
Right. Right. What does
he's
that
from Phoenix
say? I know. Right. He was born in California and grew up in Arizona. And he now may be the best player in the NHL. How much do you think that bugs Canadians up there, especially there in Toronto? Or do you think they're just happy to have the best player in the league?
Well, I mean, look, if you're Toronto, you realize he is a big reason why your team is doing so well, along with Mitch Marner right now. But you have to acknowledge that, you know, players come from everywhere now. And I understand, like, there is, and growing up on the border, Mike, there was a very unique perspective for me of how protective Canadians are of the game of hockey, especially back in the day. But, you know, they still are. Now, hockey has become or the NHL specifically, has become a far more global sport. You know, the first Russian players came over right around the collapse of the Soviet Union. Of course, a few defected to come over before that. But it's different now. Players come over from all these countries, Sweden, Finland, you know, we have Swiss players, German players, guys can make their way over. There's Czech players. if you're talented enough, you will find a way here. And that is a lot of what we've seen now, I think, is the acceptance of, look, I'll bring up the name Don Cherry. We all know how Don Cherry felt about Europeans, let alone right. Russians. And if you don't, I'll explain it very briefly. He hated them. Mm-hmm. Hated them. Didn't want them in the league. Didn't want them on his team. Was always begging for them to get creamed by the Canadian good old boys. And that's an antiquated view. So I believe that many Leafs fans wear those Austin Matthews jerseys and are proud to have that guy on their team. Now, are there people up there that bugs the ever-living snot out of them? Yes. And it always will. And you're not going to change that. They would love to see somebody homegrown. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons why Connor McDavid is even more disappointing if he doesn't win to not only hockey, but especially in Canada. Like, he's, and this is who Matthews has surpassed now, if you're into the hashtag fancy stats. But Matthews, it's hard to argue right now, you know, who you'd rather pick, because I feel like they're equal. But if you look at the teams they're on, the players around them, I mean, again, Edmonton's got three of the top five scorers in the league, and they still can't really lock down a playoff spot. They're in the playoffs right now, but are they going to stay there? Who knows? You know, that's a dicey team, whereas Toronto, I think, feels a lot more solid despite the, you know, the cries in the press up there.
Yeah. Did you ever, when you went up to Canada, and let's look at some examples. Vancouver, there's a big press area. There's a huge amount of people that show up for what they have. Just to give people context here, in the morning, the home team skates at 10. The visiting team skates around 11:30. And then following the respective skates in the morning, the coach will come out, and then everybody stands around from the media, ask questions. And then generally after that, it's just a gab fest among media people, you know, sharing recipes and just hanging out and talking hockey. Right. That happens big time in Vancouver. Certainly happens in Calgary. Toronto is insane there. And right. Montreal to a degree. It's a little different because of the language situation. But did you ever, and maybe this is just my inferiority complex, but did you ever feel like when you were in those conversations that your thoughts weren't taken seriously because you weren't Canadian?
What the Bob Stauffer are you talking about? I'm going to 100% call out Bob Stauffer. He's
Edmonton radio color guy.
He is the epitome of that thought process. I remember when I first joined the Preds, he had me on the radio show and accused me of not knowing they had a player named McIntyre who is a fighter. And, you know, I probably shouldn't have been as intimidated as I was, but I was trying to sound and represent well. And he was challenging me about Jared Smithson getting into it with McIntyre. And Jared Smithson, while an agitator, was not a fighter. And we know this, but McIntyre was. The thing is, I had just spent not that long ago, because I kind of bounced ECHL, AHL, NHL in three seasons. But when I was in the coast with Augusta, I saw McIntyre for two straight years, and I saw him fight probably 8 to 10 times a year. He was with Charlotte. And so part of me wanted to pop up because he's like, well, you don't even know who McIntyre is. And part of me wants to snap back with, I've seen him fight more than you have, Bob. You know, but I was probably too polite, held my tongue. But every time I get into a situation like that now, I think of that Bob Stauffer interview. But yes, absolutely. There are people who want your opinion and will respect what you say because you're a hockey mind. But there are people who will look at you and go, you will never be good enough. You can't possibly understand the game. And I think that that's probably the epitome of that to me. And it just, but yes, there are those people, and they're in every market. And I'm going to single out Bob just because that experience is burned into my brain with him. And even talking to him after I'd been around the league for several years, the acceptance wasn't there, which is why I think it's funny. My buddy Jack Michaels is an American who got to do the radio for Edmonton and then promoted over to the TV side. Now he's doing the TV play-by-play. Good for you, Jack. Boy, that's got to stick in Bob's craw, too. I mean, and a lot of people probably in Edmonton are like, how do we have an American guy calling the games here? probably drives him a little crazy. But that's, that does exist for sure. It does, Mike.
Yeah. Well, then circle back. Do you think when the argument is about is Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews the best player in the league, I wonder if the Toronto media is torn when they, because they kind of like the fact that it's a Toronto Maple Leaf in Austin Matthews, but he's not a Canadian. I wonder how torn they get in that conversation, because we have to remember what listeners and have to remember is in Canada, it's not just about how you're playing in the NHL. The national team representative, yes, as juniors, as Olympians, is very important to that country. But in America, nobody cares, really. Very few people, really. I mean, how many people really follow the junior championships? I don't, you know what I mean? You have to be a real super fan to care. But in Canada, it's front page.
Right.
Their country is very important to them as they get represented in international play. And God bless them. That's wonderful. It should be. And they should be very proud of how great of teams they've had. So I just wonder where they fall in terms of when the conversation comes up, who's the best. I bet you there must be some they have to be going, well, he represents Toronto, but yet he's not a Canadian. They've got to be having mixed feelings about who they think the best player is.
Yeah, and it also helps their narrative a little bit, too, if you're trying to stir the pot, where you can say, well, he's just not as good as McDavid. And you're going to get some sentiment that goes, well, of course he's not as good as McDavid. He's American. How could he be as good as McDavid? Right. You're just going to have that undercurrent, even if you don't print that. So... Mm-hmm. I think that you're right with that, and it gives them a reason to be able to consistently pick on the Leafs, especially if they don't win. So right now, the first round playoff matchup would be Toronto-Boston, which number one would be fantastic. But number two, if Toronto doesn't win that series again, man, we are just looking at an absolute, when they dissect what went wrong. You know that unless Matthew scored 10 of 11 goals in the series, he's going to be brought up. Yeah, so, but for us here in the States, it's not that we know the game any less. You could be born anywhere and know the game well if you put the time in to study it and learn it. And I firmly believe that. I think hockey is for everyone. I don't know. I think that looking at Matthews, he's not. And here's the other thing. He's not probably getting the credit he deserves in the United States either because he plays in Canada. We talk about, does McDavid get overlooked sometimes because he's in Edmonton? Well, oddly enough, I think Matthews is not the American icon he should be because he's playing in Toronto.
I could say the same for Johnny Gaudreau. If, that's the guy, I think, from New Jersey. And what if he was playing for the Rangers and same thing for Matthews, if Boston or Philadelphia, where would his star power be? Not just because he's in a big time city, certainly in Toronto, other than Montreal, that's the biggest hockey market there is. But I don't know. I'm just curious as whether or not he is as thought of as highly as he could be just because he's an American. The analytics say he's the best player in the National Hockey League. Tom, I know that you're a big believer in just eyeballing and looking. When you watch a game, do you have an opinion on who the best player in the National Hockey League is?
I will say this. I think watching McDavid skate and create is probably the most exciting thing you can do. Mm-hmm. But... if you're going to ask me, Tom, do you want Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews to have his puck on his stick with one shot to win a game? Probably going to pick Matthews.
Or is the better question? You just started a brand new franchise that's going to start this coming fall.
This is a tough one.
You are allowed to choose one player from every team, who is that first player that you are going to choose? Would you choose on a brand new team, Austin Matthews. You don't have to give anything up. That's not a consideration. You just get to pluck that player from that team. You get one. Is it Matthews or is it McDavid? And your GM, so in the back of your mind, you're also trying to sell some tickets perhaps, but mostly you're trying to win hockey games. What are your thoughts there?
Wow, that's... Man, I think
I'll tell you, I can tell you mine. I know right off. I don't have any doubt which one's mine.
I feel like just because of the electricity factor around McDavid and his, like, we see him go through five guys like once every couple of weeks. Yeah, he's putting butts in seats and selling jerseys. And here's the weird thing to say: how is a 56 goal scorer not a sexy player? I don't know that he is, but if you're a hockey fan, you love watching him play. But if you're just a guy who takes his family to a game once a year, who are you going to point to for your kids? You're going to be like, watch McDavid, just watch that guy. He's going to do something insane.
Tom, there is. We would have this argument all the time here in Colorado. We'd go Sakic or Forsberg, Sakic or Forsberg. And, you know, who do you want in the clutch? Well, Sakic's may be the greatest clutch playoff performer ever, if you look at the numbers. But some players have it. You just born with it. Whatever it is, you have it. And Forsberg had it. He was the most loved player that ever played in Colorado.
Sure.
Just because of what you know, it's like watching a movie. There are some people that just come through the screen. You may go, well, that other person's a better actor, but man, I can't take my eyes off this guy in terms of he just comes through the screen. The same thing, I think, if you make the comparison, McDavid has it. He just now. He's not a great interview. He doesn't say outlandish things. He's not a guy that is necessarily, you know, celebrating in a way that, you know, he doesn't transcend the game in a sense of having the showboat. And he just when he's on the ice, you just can't stop watching him because of what he can do. And so therefore, he has a little more it than I think Matthews does. Although Matthews is... If you go, okay, I need the best player, and as you said, to win a game, Matthews might get you that goal. But if I'm going to start a franchise, I want McDavid.
And that's hard. Now that you mentioned that, I'm like, man, who would I pick could be the face of the franchise? Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. Because even and it's not early in McDavid's career anymore.
Because you also have to do interviews.
Right. I mean,
that's another factor. You want somebody who's going to be dynamic in front of the camera too, right?
Yeah. And a lot of guys, as they get older, figure it out more, obviously. I mean, you know, Ovechkin, Crosby, these guys of this era who are the, I'll say, older superstars of the league are far better than they used to be and understand that part of the game more. Look, very few players like the media. There are a few who love it and love that spotlight. But most guys just don't want to be bothered. So to get someone who, you know, doesn't mind being in front of the camera and is a good personality, but yet, and look, some coaches and organizations don't like that. You know, they try to tamp it down because that's not how you're supposed to be. That's
the players give them a hard time,
right?
Too. I mean, how many times?
Oh, yeah,
I when I was doing TV, we go in the morning and we'd have to get sound bites from different guys, and you always gravitated towards there were three, four guys. You go, no matter what. We can walk up to him, and this guy's going to stand up and he'll answer the questions and he'll be pleasant about it, right? Other guys are like, But there are guys you can count on. But as soon as they stand up, especially when there's a camera, there's now four other guys giving him a hard time.
Right.
Look who loves to talk. Oh boy, he's Mr. Son. You know what I mean? They'll just start giving to him. And you got to have a thick skin to be able to stand there and get interviewed because guys are just giving a hard time. So, you know, it takes a special person to you know, walk that line between doing what you should be doing in your job, representing your team, and then still being one of the boys, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I mentioned Jared Smithson's name earlier, but you know these guys, Mike. We all have these guys. Tough loss, you get blown out, you know there's only one or two guys you can talk to. And God bless Jared Smithson, he would always talk. And so I always tried to find ways if he did anything, scored a goal, made a nice play, big hit, whatever. I always tried to have him on for the good stuff, too. So, you know, because I'm like, oh, it's like my payback for, hey, man, we just got, you know, shellacked 5-1. Right. What happened? But he was the guy I knew would talk to me about it and you know, was professional about it. So and every team has one or two of those guys. But it's just, you know, you find yourself trying to do a little bit more as opposed to. So this one case, Jeff Carter, I want to say. He was playing for Columbus at the time. He had a hat trick against Nashville in the first period. In the first period, wouldn't do the TV interview. There's no better time to ever do a TV interview. One period, three goals. Nope.
Right.
Wouldn't do it. I'm like, well.
And those are normally two questions and out.
Right.
Two.
Right.
I mean, it's, but hey, great goals. What happened? You know, how did your team get off to a good start? I mean, they're softballs.
Yeah.
I know. Right?
Jeff, crazy. Three goals in the first period, huh? You know, like. And,
right. I know.
Yeah. But to illustrate the point, you know, some guys will just never do it. They just don't want to do it. They want no part of it. Not interested.
Right.
So.
Right. We had a guy. Now, he was kind of funny, but. Alexei Gusarov. I don't know if you remember that name.
I
or
do.
Not. Defenseman. Okay, he's from old school Russia. We all thought he at least was in his 50s when he was playing here because you never knew.
Wow.
Really, honestly,
right.
Honestly, you never knew how old he was. If you talked to him in the locker room, talked to him on the plane, the bus, just hanging around, hilarious, funny, just articulate. Just great. As soon as you walked up to him with the game with a microphone camera, no speaking English, no speaking English. Like never once did any interview, not one, not a single one. And but as soon as you put the microphone down, he just would laugh at you. But he would just came from that school of you don't say anything,
right.
You know, in Russia. Though, so anyway, I don't know. I just always he was such a good person. You couldn't get mad at him because he no speak English, no speak English. I don't know. I really enjoy. He was a funny guy.
Very anyway. Convenient, Alexei. Very convenient.
Yes. Yep. I know.
That's good stuff. And it's always fun, you know, when we get to look back and tell those stories a little bit and talk about it.
Time for a quick break, then back with more of the Talking Puck Podcast in just a moment.
You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show. Where we started here was, you know, Matthews and maybe Matthews versus McDavid. And but Mike, honestly, no matter what you do, well, quite frankly, no matter what anyone's done since 1967, Toronto's not won a Stanley Cup. I believe that regardless of how many goals Matthews ever scores, if you want to be the greatest Leaf of all time, you need to take them back to a Stanley Cup.
Yes.
Because Bill Barilko is still probably top five for most people right off the top of their head and almost no one was alive when that goal was scored. But they know the story. It's such a dramatic part of their history. You know, it's amazing how that stuff lives on. But it also shows this is a franchise that has not won a cup since 1967.
Yeah, if he leads them to a Stanley Cup, he will have such a special place in the history of that franchise. It'll be remarkable.
I don't know how you could ever hear another negative thing about, especially if he's really leading the way and having a good run, you know, and it's a big part of it. But it's a great conversation of, because when you look at analytics, and whatever you believe in those, the numbers say that Matthews is, but there's still, and maybe this is just showing my age, there's just still something about when you watch somebody on the ice and getting a feel for who is the better player. I'm still in the McDavid camp for that, but man, it is so hard to score goals in the National Hockey League, and what Matthews is doing is remarkable. It really is. He's having a wonderful season, and who do you think they're going to end up in that first round against? Are they going to be able to get to the second round? I hope they don't have to play Boston again.
I mean, I kind of do. I want to see that series. I want to see Toronto-Boston. Just because that's me, old school, original six.
Yeah.
I think
but they can't beat Boston in the playoffs.
Well,
right.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing. And Boston's playing much better now. That's why Tampa Bay is, at least for the time being, falling to the wild card. And who knows how it's going to play out. But... yeah, it's interesting, Mike, as we come down the stretch here. But, you know, Austin Matthews, oh, by the way, to get to his 56, he scored 49 in his last 50 games.
Wow.
We haven't had a 50 and 50 in a long time.
No, that's incredible. That really is amazing. It's amazing. So Toronto's got to win. They really, that's a franchise that needs to win a playoff series, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
It's going to be tough in the East. It's all up for grabs. And just as a side note, my son and I were we're taping this on Friday, just a couple of days ago. We were going through all right, who's going to make the playoffs. And while it looked like a guarantee, the eight teams that are in right now in the East, they're going to make it. But we were doing a little math on the Islanders, and it is not absolutely impossible. Against Washington, they've got two games left against the Caps and a game in hand. That's 6 points, right? So they're currently, what are they as we speak?
13.
Today? They're 13 behind. So that's six. So you cut that down to seven. That would be with 10 games remaining for them. Can you make up, again, take just saying, you win your two against Washington, you win your game that's in hand, leaving 10 other games left as we speak today. Can you make up 7 points in 10 games? Well, not when Tom Callahan is just giving everybody points, just showing up.
Speaking of which, Mike, here's what will kill the Islanders. One in six in shootouts. 1-6.
The other day, we were just talking about this. To me, again, I know I'm biased and I apologize for this, but I've always thought Varlamov was, if he's not the best, he's in the top three shootout goaltenders. But you got to have some support. When he was in Colorado, he would make three saves and there was somebody that was going to score. But the Islanders the other day, they went 10 rounds. So he did his job, Tom, but they wouldn't score for him.
Yeah.
And then they lost. But, I mean, he held the fort for a pretty long time there. They just didn't score for him. And that there's one of those losses, you know, in the shootout. I mean, you go 10 rounds, the goalie's doing his job, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if they're 6-1, that's 10 more points instead of 1-6. And that's 83 points, and they're 3 points behind Washington.
Yeah. That's a whole different scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, even if they're 500, but you're right. I mean, you know, I'll continue to hand out points like the candy.
You're a giver. You're a giver.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm very generous. So, but yeah, that's just where they're at. We'll see. We'll see. It'll be very interesting as we kind of come down the stretch here. And Mike and I are certainly going to have a lot more to talk about. Yep. So good place to end that one. What are your thoughts? Let us know on Twitter. I'm at Callahan on Air. Mike is at Buster the Dog 33. We'd love to hear from you. Also, please join us on Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We are streaming live on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook Live. Also, don't forget, if you miss Sunday night's show, we are live on stnradio.com. That's Signal to Noise, stnradio.com, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can hear the replay of the show there. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this podcast. If you like what you heard, please like, follow, and subscribe. And until we catch you next time, we'll have more Talking Puck podcasts on the way as well. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you soon.